You're listening to a Zone Radio podcast, zoneradio.co.za.
This gardening feature is brought to you by Harry Khumans Garden Center.
Hi, I'm Jeremy, owner of Harry Khumans Garden Center, and I'd like to invite you to come and experience some genuine retail therapy at our special garden center, where our friendly and knowledgeable staff are waiting to help you. Come and find the perfect plant, beautiful pot, compost, potting or specialized soils, products to solve a pesky insect or fungal garden infection, and so much more. We strive to have a wide range and fair pricing. We're looking forward to seeing you soon at Harry Khumans Garden Center.
It's 10:30 and time for the Garden Zone with David Parker from Budding Inspiration and our sponsor, Jeremy Fenn from Harry Khumans Garden Center. Good morning, David, and good morning, Jeremy. Good
morning, Sue.
Morning, good morning.
Morning, Jeremy.
Hello.
Are you good?
Yeah.
What's up there, you said?
It was.
The in here,
yeah, perfect in here, perfect in here.
So our topic this morning is...
Yeah, we're going to go into April now.
Yes.
Can you
handle this?
I know. Believe it. April.
Birthday month. I love it. Do you know when I look at the board, Jimmy? Have you seen the amount of public holidays?
Yeah. It's insane. There, we're on the same page.
The school have closed the whole last week of April. Hey? They've just come on holiday. They're about to go back to school tomorrow off of a week holiday. And for the last week of April, because Monday is a holiday and Wednesday is a holiday with the 1st of May, they've closed the whole week. So
yeah,
the kids literally had 2 weeks of schooling backpack for a week, so 100%. But anyway, that's as parents. We worry.
That's the end of the month. But there are too many public holidays in this month. It does mess us around a little
but
bit
as you know,
business owners.
My baby's got a motorbike so he can get around now. And I must tell you something, Jeremy. The weight off our shoulders of having to not run him around anymore takes a massive weight. So he can stay home and he can go to school when he wants to go to school. Anyway, let's get into it. So as you said, Jeremy, month of April. I must say though, Jeremy, in terms of, you know, we say this all the time. It is definitely, the weather is definitely changing, isn't it?
Yeah.
I saw a news thing this morning and my wife actually laughed. It said that Moscow are battling because they've got so much snow on the roads in spring. Now, I've always thought Moscow was frozen, but apparently in spring in Moscow, it's actually quite sunny.
Yes.
At the moment, they've got like 1 meter deep snowfall. So it's just weird, hey, Jeremy. I've got a block of flats in town and I planted some aloes out there and I got there 2 weeks ago and the aloes are flowering.
Okay.
And aren't they winter flowers?
Yeah, it's a little early.
It's a little early.
Yeah. Yeah, very strange.
And that's what tells you what's happening in the weather patterns,
yeah.
You know?
It is definitely my best time of year because it starts getting a bit cooler. And I'm not a massive summer person, but the cooler weather in the autumn is definitely for me. But yeah, this weekend was hot. and then today also just warmed up very fast. So yeah. Not too cool yet, but it is going to mean that, you've got to watch out for the mildew.
100%. 100%. Because the humidity in that, hey?
Yeah, hotter days and then cooler nights. That's when we start getting a bit of fungus. So you've got to just be careful of that on your lawn and then on your, especially the aloes as well. Just talking about aloes, always good to use like a preventative spray with the aloes, especially in the Western Cape.
Okay, I noticed I'm actually battling that list because I find that I'm waiting until they're fully infected first, you know, with the scale, and then I'm trying coin oil. But I find, you know, people don't realize, I mean, even once you've coin oiled, you've got to get it stuck in and clean the plant off and literally wipe all the leaves off to get it back to its glorious state. However, they can be saved because I moved some aloes from a really bad, dingy, dark area and I've planted them in full sun and luckily in my own home. And the clients don't want them, and they're looking beautiful at the moment. So, you know, things are savable. But I do think it's quite funny you say that. So the time of year. So normally I'm really encouraging clients to stop doing, if they don't have irrigation systems, we always talk about irrigation, Jeremy, but to stop planting towards the end of this month when it does get cooler and the rains start coming in a bit. But as you just said, if this hot weather stays, you don't really want to start planting now. So you've got to be careful of that.
The it's always a good time of year now to start thinking about if you're doing the big shrubs or the big trees and things, because you know it's going to have that winter to settle. So it's always a bonus for this time of year. Even though you might not want to get into the garden, it's actually the time you should be planning to do those things that are more structural.
100%.
In terms of the
some transplanting work. I always talk to clients about now's the time where you can cut back a little bit. And obviously water, and then they keep their water bits. So moving plants around this time of year is also good. But I always like to wait more towards May, June for that.
It's coming.
Know?
It's definitely coming.
Do you think we're going to have I was following up a weather guy from UCT, Peter Johnson, and he was saying that he thinks we're going to have a less rain this year. But
I also heard that.
They said that last time, and we had torrential downpours.
Yeah, but it was very concentrated in that, I think it was like June, we were just washed out. So I don't mind if we have a similar amount of rain. Obviously, it's
spread
good for
over all the months.
Yeah, it can rain at night. Yeah. That's my thing.
did you read in our news this morning that they've had to open the fifth sluice gate of the Vaal River?
I didn't hear about that.
Yeah, apparently they're actually warning residents along the Vaal that they need to evacuate. Wow. That's how much rain Joburg has received in the last week, that they've literally now in the fifth sluice, talking about the sixth sluice, and now the banks, it's going to break its banks. So it's not great news up there for them. But again, talking weather patterns, I saw on Morning Live this morning in the news that it was like dark and 80% storms and run, and it was very unusual, man.
Yeah, yeah. No, well, they need some rain up just, there, but not... No.
Just want to point out that we can make this a gardening weather show. We're bordering on it. We can do anything on this show.
Yeah, so the other thing is that we've just received the bulbs. Well, maybe when I say just received, it was about 2 weeks ago the bulbs have come in, and they've been moving quite nicely. But the ones that are in now are the, I wrote them down because my little list didn't have this, but we've got the daffodils, the ranunculus, the anemones, the freesias, and the hyacinths.
Beautiful.
And yeah, they're all there. We also have some garlic and the little garlics that you can plant now. And then also even the elephant garlic, which is that massive garlic.
I don't know if you've seen that.
No.
I'm coming to you after the show, so I'm going to have a look with you there. I've got to come get some plants from you. So
yeah, the garlic... you know, they've got a picture of someone holding the garlic and their hand looks tiny compared to the clove.
That's amazing.
And the actual little cloves inside are massive. So it is a big garlic. But yeah, we've got those in stock as well, which is quite cool. I don't know if we still got onion sets, or sometimes we get those as well. But yeah, the bulbs are there. Very and nice. They've actually
and
been selling quite
well. The
bulbs
are in bags that hang on the shelves, don't they?
Yeah,
they're not obviously planted out, but
yeah,
for everybody to do.
Yeah, you
obviously
can do
a
it
bulb, you... I mean, now that you mention a bulb, Jeremy, what would you tell us the cycle of a bulb? So you'd buy it from you now. Obviously, you've got to plant at a certain depth in a pot or in the ground, they say.
Yeah.
And a lot of people... this is something you've known about my garden service. Always, this is where communication between a garden service and clients are very important, because... some clients like to designate an area for bulbs, Jeremy.
Yeah.
No, they don't tell you about it, you know. And the bulbs are finished, for example, and they've been cut down to ground level, and your team comes in and turns the area with a spade because it's bare.
Yes.
And you dig up all the bulbs, you know. So a lot of people that are very bulb, for skrik is the word we could use, they obviously dig their bulbs up after flowering.
Yeah.
And you brush them with the paintbrush and you put them in a dry store place for the next
season. Yeah, newspaper. Yeah, so some can stay in the ground. Okay. It depends on the type of bulb, but some can just stay in the ground. We left some dahlia bulbs from 2023 in the pots, and then they came up now 2024, December, whatever, when it was, and came up and have been flowering for ages. So the dahlias did really well. They're still flowering. But the dahlias are going to be going off now, and it's coming for these other bulbs that I mentioned now. But yeah, it's as I said, some can just stay in the ground, and some need to come out and then just wrapped in newspaper and put 100%. In a box. Or
again, like I always mention, when it comes to herbs, vegetables, etc., it's a very personal thing, bulbs, I think, Jeremy.
Yeah.
So, you know, people that are buying them know what to do with them, so that always works for me.
Yeah, there's instructions on the back of the pack as well. It tells you how deep to plant them, which way to put point them. sometimes
not drink the brake fluid. We laugh at that, but no, that's cool. So I never actually knew bulbs were April this time of year. So I've learned something new today, which is cool. But in terms of this time, you mentioned on your lawn, and that would you start mowing higher now, Jeremy?
Yeah, definitely.
Hey, we start.
Yeah, it's on my list.
Raising the mowers up a little bit, and then something that I've been doing with my lawns all around and on my own personal lawn is I've learned. I've been learning a lot, Jeremy. Something I love about our job is we can keep learning. So dethatching has been something that I've done a lot of this year. And to be honest with you, Jeremy, it's something that I never knew that the results would actually be so much. You know, you see that patch of grass and it's not growing well, and you scarify it and you put feed there. But if that thatch doesn't get removed, or that dead grass, nothing can replace it, you know?
Yeah.
And it was such an obvious thing to understand. And I've noticed, especially this time, that's why we're talking for the month of April, that my lawn at this particular time of year, I water a lot though. So I've got to be careful now with my watering as well. I think I've actually, I'm very lucky to have a Wi-Fi app for my watering. Mm-hmm. So I've tone down all my water by 50%. You know, just keep it wet, you know, not trying to overwater. I'm also choosing the right times of day to water, Jeremy, which is quite important now. So I'm watering in the mornings.
Early morning, yeah.
I try and, well, I'm quite lucky that I try and water after 8, believe it or not, and I let it dry up a little bit more. You know, again, you've got to, when it comes to all of that, Jeremy, and you mentioned thinning and cutting back for trees now, that goes hand in hand, especially going into when the sun changes its path and your garden gets in more shade.
Yes.
Now's also the time to look at that aspect of your garden. I like to cut back now for my garden for winter so that already the sun path is changing and already the grass is getting more sun than it would get if I left my trees hanging low, for example, Jeremy.
Yeah, that's
so
cool.
So I'm doing that at the moment with the defatching and that and then watching. And then I've just applied a 2-3-2 feed.
Yes.
Nothing major, just to strengthen my root systems going into this time of year.
So you could use the chemical 2-3-2 or you could use one of the other products like the Bounce Back, the Atlantic Fertilizer.
Yeah.
It used to be called Bounce Back. It's now called Bioganic.
Yes.
So that's the pellet one or just the one that says Lawns on it. That's the blue bag.
Nice.
So that would also be a balanced fertilizer. That one you could pretty much do all year round.
Yeah, that's a slow release, isn't it?
Well, it is also because it doesn't have the nitrogen that's going to burn. It is slow release, but it still needs to be repeated probably every 6 weeks.
100%. And another thing with the feeding now is if you wait for a day that's drizzling, it always helps, doesn't it, to feed when it's about to drizzle or rain.
Yeah, it just makes it so much easier. It
takes away the pain. When you're feeding organic, you don't have to worry too much, Jeremy, but when you're feeding a chemical, you definitely need to water almost immediately after you've fed in order to activate it and take away the burn of the nitrogen, as you just said.
Yes. So some of the chemical ones do have sustained release, they call it, or slow release nitrogen. So that's also just to sort of mitigate that nitrogen burn that could happen. But if you use something like ammonium sulfate, or you know, you want to really give it a kick, that's extremely potent in terms of like it could burn. So you don't want to use that right now, definitely. Yeah, it's also a good time to start looking at like the winter veggies. I know you don't do a lot of the veggie stuff, but like the lettuces you can put in now, the spinaches, the rocket.
Nice.
Well, maybe not rocket, but kale. People get into the kale smoothies, you know.
Ooh.
You love those.
Yes, Jeremy. My tummy loves the kale smoothies.
Yeah, and then the brassicas like the broccoli, the cauliflower, cabbage. Kohlrabi, you're also another one of those ones you love.
That's a deep purple one, isn't
yeah,
it?
Yeah, you get a purple one or a white one.
No. Isn't that like horseradish?
I don't know. No, it's more cabbagey.
Okay.
I think it's...
Okay.
Yeah, I'm not sure. Sue? Kohlrabi? Is that one of your favorites?
Say more.
Well, Brussels sprouts, that's also family favorite.
Brussels sprouts I enjoy.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah, and then... carrots and beetroot you can do all year round, so those are fine, and radishes and turnips. I mentioned the garlic and the onions.
Kohlrabi is also called the German turnip, or turnip cabbage.
Turnip cabbage.
Yeah, as you just said. So it's obviously got a little bit of both there.
Yeah. And then the peas.
It's also the way it's cooked.
Oh.
Yes.
Yeah.
Well, Jeremy, or no, I was at boarding school with him, and that's the problem, you know. You get a gem squash from boarding school, but it's about 400 gem squash in one pot that they just stir with a big wooden spoon.
Yeah.
So not much flavor there. It took me a while to eat better, but we're there.
And broad beans and the peas, like I mentioned, the sugar snap, and those are coming through in the winter. Those are really good. I think I've got some seeds actually popping up in my garden of the beans.
And I see here on my notes, they say that you should be harvesting your pumpkins now. Taking 15 centimeters of stalks and you store them in dry place. I'm not sure.
Yeah.
That is.
I'm not sure about those. But also, like, it's an in-between time because the petunias, you know, in terms of color, annuals and stuff, petunias are going off now and it's going to start being time for, like, pansies, violas.
Okay.
So they're coming through. I think we got some of the big trays that we put into little trays,
the
6-packs. So those have come in the last maybe week or 2 weeks ago. So those will be going into our 6-packs, and then we're going to start bringing those in about a month's time. So it's almost time for the winter annuals to come through.
Okay.
But otherwise, we've still got color. There's still the marigolds and the gazanias and, you know, plenty.
Yeah, I think we also say that we try and. I mean, we are funny as Cape Townians, hey? A little bit of rain and then we like hibernate for 3 months. It really isn't that bad out there. And I think we've got to change that mindset that there's still numerous amounts of flowering shrubs and plants out there. And there's still so much to be done. And now is actually the time, as you're saying, Jeremy, to sit down with a pen and paper and have a look at your garden and sort of plan for the next 5 months and, you know, where you want your garden. I think now's the right time to plan for Christmas. You know, everyone's yes. always gunning for Christmas and wants that lush green lawn and some flowers in the pots around there. And now, believe it or not, is the right time to look at getting all those aspects right and what to do. I mean, again, we're going back to lawns a little bit. I was saying to you off here that we're going to start spraying again. Mm-hmm. Makes me a bit nervous because, you know, lawns are going a bit dormant. But if we're doing the right processes and we're doing everything right, then we can definitely handle it.
Yeah.
I've been actually spot spraying. I bought one of those beautiful little sprayers of yours, which I absolutely love, off your shelf. And I've been spot spraying weeds just for now. Like, you know, when you get that clump of clover, Jeremy, that you're battling with. My guy sets up a 1 or 2 liter and we just literally spot spray it now. You know, he mows around it, cuts it at the end of the job. And in 2 weeks' time, it's, you know, we've caught up on that patch. But obviously, we're talking about more towards at the first week of May doing what we said was that full spectrum spray. And that's obviously to catch the germinating seeds for the winter lawns in the ground.
So yeah, as soon as the proper rain comes, then any seeds that are going to be there. And we've mentioned this before, but your grass does slow down and the weeds won't slow down.
100%.
So you've got to make sure that you get stuck in with some sort of process. But just going back to that thing that you said about planning for Christmas, that's such a true statement because all your perennials will look their absolute best if you plant them now, settle in winter, 100%. And by the time, you know, the spring, summer comes around, they're going to be looking really good. The, you know, the smaller annual stuff, that's another story. You're not going to be planting now, but the...
Funny enough, that you want to plant the day before because you get it in and it's just that mass color, you know, the day before Christmas. But as you said, and I think there's, you know, shaping, pruning, Jeremy, moving into the right positions, as you've said, it's all very important at the moment, Jeremy. And obviously, there are rules of thumbs, guys. There are beautiful plants in your garden, still flowering now, you know, that flower beautifully through June, July. So, you know, those you don't really want to touch. Same rule of thumb, just because it's our winter, those plants are actually at their full growth point. If you cut them, you know, you're going to actually have a chance of losing their sap, which can kill the plants. You know, they bleed out, basically. I mean, it's a living organism, you know. Yeah. You're cutting them at the wrong time. So just remember that up with those little details as well.
Yeah, and you mentioned it earlier, the aloes, the winter flowering aloes are going to be...
Gorgeous.
All of a sudden, you're going to just notice them all over the place.
100%. Do you have anything funny enough talking about? I found one client had quite a bad fungal infection on the aloe.
Yeah.
You know what? Especially, you know, I like the aloes for their rigidness. And whenever I buy an aloe, I always try and look at the single stem aloes purely for structural form.
That's
what I use aloes for. Obviously, there are beautiful ones that, like the arbors, that clump beautifully. And if they're shaped nicely, you get the beautiful stems. They look amazing. But I've noticed on the single stem aloes, Jeremy, at this block of flats that I planted in a very arid area, they have had the groundsman watering between our visits. But underneath two of them, they were quite a bad. Stem that clearly is mold grown. What is the reason for that, Jimmy?
Well, that's what I mentioned earlier, right at the beginning, with the using a pre-emergence fungicide.
Okay.
And that would be maybe your one of the copper-based ones. And it's a very good practice to start maybe now, and then you do that maybe once every 6 weeks through the winter period. And it just makes sure that if there's any fungus that's hanging around, because that's where the aloes in the Western Cape, because we get
a lot of rain. They're supposed to be drier plants, and we do get a lot of rain.
Yeah, so they do very well here because they're tough and they work in this environment. But it's just the winter period that you've got to be careful, and it's mostly just because a little bit of fungus hangs around.
And all the disease from an aloe, like the scale, that all stems from, I think, wet feet for aloes, to be honest, Jeremy.
Yeah, yeah. No, they definitely are a little bit more under pressure. So if a scale gets in, or if one of those little mites gets in, or the fungus gets in, then it doesn't have the resilience as that you could say. So, keep them in. They still need some care. So the... like fungicide that you could start doing every 6 weeks, the Vericop or whatever, copper-based. And then also, like we've talked about, the Conal.
Yeah.
Because that's just one of those things that you do every 6 months on your plants, and it's in the plant, and then any little thing that starts sucking on it.
When you say every 6 months, Jeremy, are you talking about almost physically – when I say physically, obviously applying it, but I use a distribution nozzle. I mix up my coin oil in a bucket,
uh-huh.
and I drop a mixing nozzle, in there, and you plug at the end of your hose, Jeremy.
Okay.
And, I mean, that's sort of watering the whole garden. Do you recommend like that, or are you thinking, because I know obviously you can put in a watering can and systemically water an aloe root.
Yes.
And that's just as effective. I mean, it gets straight to the root.
Well, you've got to be careful.
Are you talking about a general spray,
no,
or are you talking about just on the aloes? And
well, just the things that are susceptible.
Okay.
So, like, you always get scale on a... What's that thing called? Australian sherry.
Yes.
They always get scale.
That
or
black
mealybug.
Sooty mold. Yes, yes.
Yeah. So they get the scale and then they get the mealybug and you always get it.
Yeah.
So
it's like the conifers. They get the conifer aphid.
100%. So it's like those plants, if you've got them in your garden, put Kona on them and then you would have to just mix up the right ratio. So
yeah, according to the problem, definitely.
Yeah. So we'll go with your rule of thumb saying it's 1 mL per meter of plant. Per liter. So if the thing is standing 2 meters tall, then it's two mils per liter.
Yeah.
And then you would use a few liters on a plant that size. So let's say you use three liters, 6 mils into 3 liters and you pour it around the base.
Yeah.
And then you know that plant has got enough. When you're doing your indoor plants, you can obviously do a little bit less. You've got to do less water because maybe the pots are small and they 100%. Can't take that much. So you're only mixing up half a liter. But you don't want too much of the water to run through. So let's say you know that this plant, when you water it half a cup or 500 mils, nothing comes out the bottom.
So
the whole thing.
That
yeah. So then when you do the cone or you do half a mil in 500 mils and you pour it over slowly and it doesn't, you know, you don't get a lot of runoff.
It doesn't leach out the soil. And then
yeah.
And
then
it's the product,
yeah, you sit there, it sits there and then the roots that are in contact with that are going to take it in and then it's into the plant and then it, protects it because it means that any sucking insect is now going to get that insecticide when it sucks on the plant 100%. Juices. And yeah, it's like I said, the aloes, a bay leaf tree as well. If you're not using it for cooking, then they always get scale. So unfortunately, like a bay leaf, if you're using in because it's such a tough plant. I mean, some people just have it because it's really tough in terms of look. But if you're actually using it, then you wouldn't use the cone, 100%. The systemic one. You would use a contact spray. But then it's like the time.
It's like lemons. Coino is very good for lemons. But if you do apply coino to lemon trees, and I use coino a lot of lemons, unfortunately, you have to remove that batch of fruit.
Fruit, yeah, yeah.
And then the next batch comes through. So
yeah, exactly. Yeah. So and then you do the fungicide on your aloes.
100%.
It's just that.
No,
time,
it's amazing.
Time of year.
It's amazing.
I mean, we're in the Western Cape here, so we've got quite a diverse amount of things going on.
Yeah.
But it does make...
Yeah, we've got salt winds we've got to watch for. You know, it all adds up to hard gardening out here, man. It's hard. But once you get it right, you get it right, you know. And something that you, just to end the show off to, I laughed earlier, you said, but I've learned, Jeremy, to not sort of commit to a plant's growth for a client. So a client said, so you're going to plant it now and when will I get it? I said, give it 2 seasons. I've noticed that everything in this side of the world takes at least 2 seasons to settle, to get acclimatized, the winds, the salt, whatever it is, Jeremy. And then if it takes, it takes, you know. And then from there, you know that we can move forward and enjoy that.
Yeah.
That's just my rule of thumb. We've got a question.
Yes, we've got a question. Good morning, Victor. Again, Victor says, I have 2 large plant pot standing by my front door. What beautiful plants can I plant that will last all year round?
I'm going to say hibiscus.
Well,
I'm a lover of hibiscus. It's not indigenous, Victor, but they are almost indigenous. They profuse flowers. They just – no, but you know what I mean, Jeremy. They just grow well in our country, and they take –
almost indigenous.
Almost indigenous.
Oh, my goodness.
One foot in this country and 1 foot in SA. I just think they're one of the few plants that can take the winds, Jeremy.
Yes.
So, in other words, I've seen – I've got my own specimen that and I like that. I learned from my own garden, I think, if that makes sense. I didn't go back to my roses with you two. You know, I've had to pull out all my roses, Jeremy.
Oh, no.
That scale was – no, it was hectic. It just I just kept losing, and then I was worried about all my other plants, so I'd change. Right. But I'm a hibiscus
Well, we had more information, because if it's not getting enough sun, then the hibiscus might not flower as much. So,
Victor, did you hear that?
Mona lavender.
Does your plants get a lot of sun? And then they can guide you even further.
Yeah, so it's always a good idea to maybe bring photos into the garden center, because then we can see, you know, what the size of the pot is.
100%.
That's also, you know, one of the factors. What the aspect is, how much sun it gets. Is it exposed to the full wind? You know, so there's a you can't just unfortunately throw out too many options.
Okay. Yeah.
So Victor, you make your way to Harry Hummans and you ask for Jeremy, and Jeremy will guide you on what to put in your pot.
We can definitely help. But there's quite a few options that can go into those sort of things, because you want something that looks good pretty much all year round. So if it's getting a lot of sun, I would say hibiscus is a winner.
Yeah.
Because you could also just shape it nicely. And then,
love being prune, which is what I love about them as well.
And you know, even if you get the hibiscus that's got a bit of red in the leaves, that also is quite attractive, because then when it's not flowering, it's still got that, the color.
The appeal.
Yeah, exactly.
I like it.
Right, so we hope that answers your question, Victor. And is there anything else you would like to discuss?
No, I'm just going
to
say, Jeremy, good show today. Jeremy came with his notes and he's on it today. I like it.
Yeah, we didn't get through everything, but you know.
We'll finish in two weeks' time.
Remember, you've got 2 weeks' time, so yes. So would you like to give out your number, please, David?
I would love to. It's 073. Thanks, 247-0351. You want to get hold of me for any gardening questions, and then obviously Harry Goodman's Garden Centre.
Yes, and then Jeremy he doesn't give out numbers, because you don't need to know the number. Just make your way to Harry Goodman's.
I mean, there are people that phone, obviously, and we take those calls and can give out information. Yes.
But you love one-on-ones. So
it's best to come, because then you can see everything and you can.
Yes.
You can really get the experience. Right.
So thank you. Thank you, David. Thank you, Jeremy.
Thank you.
Thank you, Victor, for your question. And we hope you have a fabulous week.
Lekker. Okay.
Thank you.
Guys. Bye-bye.
Cheers.
This gardening feature was brought to you by Harry Hummans Garden Centre.
Hi, I'm Jeremy, owner of Harry Hummans Garden Centre, and I'd like to invite you to come and experience some genuine retail therapy at our special garden centre, where our friendly and knowledgeable staff are waiting to help you. Come and find the perfect plant, beautiful pot, compost, potting or specialized soils, products to solve a pesky insect or fungal garden infection, and so much more. We strive to have a wide range and fair pricing. We're looking forward to seeing you soon at Harry Hummans Garden Center.